I get lots of those emails. Hey, you should write about this. Hey, you should write about that. My initial reaction is always,
Welcome
you should write
to the
about
Crack
it.
Podcast. I am still, and yet again, Garrick Van Buren. Thanks for listening. This is First Crack Podcast number 123, conversation with Dino and Andy from CitizenWasa.com on That Citizen Journalism Project in Wausau, Wisconsin, and how they've grown it, how they've made a name for it, how they've broken stories, and how they see themselves in relation to traditional newspaper media in that town. Theme music, as always, by Jeremy Piller. Thank you. More conversations and interviews just like this one. FirstCrackPodcast.com. Let's go.
Good. You're about to
That would be why we're here.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Well, we kind of all have in common, you know. It would be weird if you wanted to talk about my mom or something, you know.
How is your mom, Dino?
She's good, actually. She's fine. She just got dentures.
Great.
Like the full plate kind, you know. So it costs $10,000 to get dentures.
Wow.
Just saying, you know. So take care of your teeth, kids.
This is classic citizen journalism right here.
Right, exactly. Right here. Way to go, Garrick. You opened the door now. So, corral us.
So were you? How old's the project? A couple of years? 2 years?
Started in 2007.
Okay.
So, about a year and a half.
Cool. And from my perspective, as someone who doesn't, who only holidays in Wausau, I think it as I've said to Dino many times, I think it's awesome that it's there. It looks cool. It seems like a great service. And it's one of the examples that I use of smaller regions doing really good work that the bigger regions aren't doing. So how off base am I? Or is that accurate from your perspective? Do you see it as a success?
I do. As a content guy, as the writer, journalist sort of the voice of it, I view it as a success, and I view it and to talk about the other point that you brought up, that larger cities aren't doing stuff like this, I think that there are examples of places where cities try this, and oftentimes it sort of gets lost in the shuffle of sort of internet-based conflict or internet-based politics and, you know, local arguments and things like that. And we've worked real hard on Citizen Wausau to make it a civil environment, to the point where, you know, we that's part of our disclaimer, that's part of our materials, that we talk about civility all the time, so that we don't degenerate into that. And I think that on my end of things, I believe it's a tremendous success, and I've told Andy this a lot, and I think on the not to, to speak for him, but I assume that Andy has quite a bit of pride in what he did with it technically.
Yeah, I do. And Citizen Wausau was the first time I had ever worked with WordPress multi-user. And I think we all had a pretty clear idea going in of what we wanted the end result to be. And Citizen Wausau version 1.0 pretty much was spot on to that. I mean, at the time, WPMU was, I think, relatively young. I mean, there was a decent user base, but there was a lot of documentation that was still lacking. And since then, it's gone through a couple significant upgrades and has made it very tempting to look into switching the site over to it. But yeah, it's a really nice piece of software to work with, and it was really a fun project to get to know it.
Yeah, because for me, just to further that up, one of the when we were in the planning process, there were three of us, and I, you know, we all sort of brought what we wanted to the table, and I think the way it worked out is, you know, we all sort of brought broader strokes to the table, and then, you know, I know for on my part of that process, I got out of the way, and you know, I submitted sort of what I wanted and how I wanted it to work and stuff like that, and Andy, his design and his development far exceeded anything I thought was going to be possible. And so when I finally did see it after it sort of came out of the cave and was shown to me, I was more blown away by it than probably anybody. I was actually sort of shocked that, you know, we pulled it off.
That's very cool. So Andy, what do you think are some of the the key. So I hadn't assumed it was multi-user. I just assumed it was sort of the regular thing. So, but there's a whole bunch of authors and blogs, and I can register and have my own place in Citizen Wasa. That's accurate?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
I didn't expect that from. But, you know, I haven't dived too deeply into it either. So, what do you think are some of the really compelling key aspects of this? From a technical standpoint, and then we'll talk about the non-technical side.
From a technical standpoint, the fact that it's WordPress makes it really nice, because I've been working with WordPress quite a bit for the last couple of years, and so to be able to use that knowledge to make something that's, you know, exponentially more powerful is really pretty handy, and it's, you know, it's all open source, so there's a lot of different extensions and stuff you can add to it. Yeah, I think just the overall support for the platform is what makes it so great. I mean, we've been doing a lot of looking at this plugin for WordPress multi-user called BuddyPress that basically takes multi-user and beyond the blogs makes it kind of a Facebook type of environment where you can have friends and you have like a wall type thing where you can write on other people's accounts and stuff like that. And, you know, the work that they've put into that is just amazing for a piece of software that they're releasing for free.
And tell me about the traction and any attention. And so you've got other people writing. How did you convince them to write for you, or write here rather?
I think for the most part they came to us. I didn't even know Andy before we really started the project. You know, so it's sort of. We got some good press coverage initially, and then I think it sort of spun out of that. You know, a lot of people, Cheryl, our managing editor, Cheryl Mathis, she came to us. We had a sort of a public meeting, and Cheryl came to us, and I felt like she was a good fit for working with me on the content part, and so she's assumed that role. But for the most part, we sort of get, you know, content from people who have something to say, and that's exactly what I had hoped for. You know, you always want more voices and more content and things like that. But I think that the people that submit articles are all committed and are all really sort of great voices and very unique to what they want to talk about. And I think that that's a nice idea, and that's a nice sort of reality for us.
So is there an editorial process? Are people talking about their cats?
There is an editorial process for the front page. Mm-hmm. The individual blogs that we have in the community, we, you know, aside from nurturing them as writers, you know, they're really sort of on their own out there. They are their wholly owned property and stuff like that. And so, as you know, we just provide a tool to them. Andy just provides that tool, and we provide some support to them if they, you know, need it. But yeah, there is an editorial process for the front page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the support is the technical support is some sort of encouragement. Is there an ongoing sort of a nurturing of these writers, or are they more, you know, completely on their own? And this is sort of equivalent to if I started something up at a WordPress.com or a Typepad, I'm basically on my own.
No, there's more than that. We, you know, I think I talk to everybody, or I exchange emails with everybody who starts a blog. You know, for the most part, if they start a blog and you know, put it up for public comment or something like that, I tend to comment right away and welcome them to send them an email welcoming them to the site and Citizen Wasa, and if there's anything we can do to help, sort of, you know, sort of that introduction email, you know, I'm Dino, this is Andy, da 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 da, so that, you know, they feel more comfortable if say, for example, and the most common thing, I believe, Andy, is people losing their passwords.
Or not getting them.
Or not getting them, yes. That's the technical hiccup, but yeah. And so So we try to, you know, and when people sort of become stagnant and don't blog for a while, I tend to sort of shoot them an email and follow up and say, hey, you know, is there anything we can do? You haven't blogged for a while, you know.
What do you see as a while? They're talking a week, a month. What's that?
You know, I tend to go about a month. You know, I sort of track them like through a month. And some of them, you know, some people start blogs and they have a different level of expectations for what they want to do. Some people have mistakenly started blogs when they'd only meant to make a comment and stuff like that. And they get to keep those blogs. And so, you know.
Look what you did. Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. You have your own blog and you didn't mean to. And now your comment is in its own special place. And that's fine. And those people just, you know, they never wanted a blog and they weren't intending to do it. So it's just sort of the natural outcropping of that. Sorry.
What do you see as the most successful? So is there a type of information, a tone, that you think is most successful within Citizen Wausau?
Oh God, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
What do you think, Andy?
it's a really hard question to answer.
I think we've had some sort of issues that popped up that, you know, that I've been passionate about and I wrote vigorously about them. And I think that naturally lends itself to larger traffic. You know, I think that we have when we've written about city council things, we've written about activities within the city, and I think that if we're ahead of the news, for example, we've broken a couple of stories in Wausau, and I've been amazingly proud of that. And I think that in those cases, those sort of things have a tremendous amount of traction. When we can be more comprehensive than the local weekly, or if we can be more comprehensive than the daily, I think that that's, you know, something that gives us a little bit of an edge, you know, as far as traffic goes. If I had to pick something that's relatively successful, I think it's, you know, I think it's when we take on sort of hot button issues of the day and have multiple voices talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a week of.
I'm going to start a blog and complain about the lack of trees in the city park.
I think that's fair. I think you should, you know, because we welcome your voice. But
I'll write a post every time I'm in town. Just yeah. Reiterating. No, where are the trees?
You can just copy and paste.
Yeah, that's true.
I was
yeah.
in town on X date. There were no trees.
Yeah, just have it plug in automatically, you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Somehow tie that into your GPS in your car. It'll all automatically. You won't even have to think about it anymore.
Perfect.
We could start a single serving site that's basically, are there trees in the city square? And it would just always say no.
Yeah, every day. No, there aren't any more today.
Why do you care so much?
Yeah, exactly.
Stop asking.
Oh, you're actually.
Yeah. Now we're going to build that site, Garrick, this weekend.
I love it. And if you could tie it into, is it Christmas yet? Just a little combo.
Oh, yeah. I guess we're going to have the negative response single serving site. No, no, no.
No trees, but it's Christmas.
No Christmas. No, no. Not Easter. No. Not taller than me. No. Yeah.
Cool. So I'm assuming this is not your full time gigs.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, by hours, it might be a full time gig for me. Andy has a bike, so I. You know.
Apparently, that has something to do with something.
Totally
no,
balanced.
I do web design as a career and work for a small studio here in Wausau and do some freelance stuff as well. So, Citizen Wausau is like third.
Right.
In terms of things that I do on a good day.
Yeah.
Right. And Dino, this is maybe what I'm going to guess also a third, maybe second. What do you think?
I work in reproductive healthcare access and policy and media. it's a strong second, you know. I don't want my boss to hear the podcast and hear that my job is second, but you know, I do spend at least 40 hours a week thinking about Citizen Wasa or working on Citizen Wasa stuff. I enjoy it, and I'm passionate about citizen journalism. I'm more passionate about it after I was passionate before about writing, and I'm passionate about writing, and then I became more passionate about it even more after sort of the hard work that Andy did in building this tool for us. And I realized, well, you know, for me, a lot of it is serving, and this is horribly, you know, sort of emotional, but it's a lot of it is serving what he did, the work that he did in trying to rise to that level, you know, and I often feel that I don't hit that.
How do you see your stuff different than the Daily?
How do we see, like, the Daily newspaper?
Yeah.
I think that I appreciate the sort of personal voice quite a bit more, you know, as someone who's been a journalist, you know, been that, and you, by nature, a journalist in the past has had to sort of remove themselves from the story. But I like the idea that the articles that people write about Wasa are personal. They're personal stories that people can relate to, and there's a larger universal, but the universal comes from the fact that it's seen through someone's eyes. And I think that the eyes that we have looking at the world on Citizen Wasa are amazingly perceptive and valid and really unique. For example, this week Cheryl did a series of articles about her neighborhood, about volunteerism, you know, about, I forgot what the thing on Monday was about. I think it was about the faith healing case. And so it became sort of a highlight of Cheryl's voice. And I think that Cheryl's voice by its nature is amazing. And that's what I think we do different than a Daily. And as far as news providing news, we're able to do a couple of different things. First of all, our nature, by my nature in the city and the relationships that we build with people, I think that we're trusted in a different way than the Wasa Daily Herald or the City Pages is. People, you know, ultimately know that I'm writing about them and I'm standing right there next to them. So if I'm going to tear them down, if you will, then I'm standing right next to the rubble. And by nature, I'm connected to that. So I think that people, you know, for example, when Mike Morrissey, the city's development director, resigned, we had it first. We had his resignation letter first. We put it up online first. People saw it first. We were the first ones to have all the information put together. And that came from the fact that I have a relationship with that office. So we got that information and we're able to be far more responsive than the Daily Herald or the City Pages are. And you know, with all of the stories that we've broken, I think that they've come out of, you know, being in the room for a lot of that stuff. And what's amazing is that of the three of us when we started, I think I was probably the least social person. You know, I think I have the smallest sort of circle of friends, and as a result, I didn't expect to be this person. And now it's these relationships have built, and as a journalist and as a writer, I nurture those relationships.
I think from a usability standpoint, it doesn't seem like with the Daily Herald, as much as I respect what they've tried to do with their most recent site revisions, I mean, they're trying to make it a community kind of similar to what we're trying to do, but in a different way. And it has so many features, but it's so difficult to use the features that are there. Everything just seems to be obfuscated. Instead of making it so it's, you know, inviting and easy to use, they've just gotten this terrible feature bloat. It's really frustrating to try to accomplish even the most basic of tasks on their site, and that's something we want to try to avoid.
I mean, first of all, we can point, you know, the City Pages doesn't have online content.
At all?
None.
No, they have a website, but it basically says, hey, pick up the City Pages.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, what's funny is they started a Twitter account 2 days ago. And they oh God, I write for the City Pages. One of the first tweets they put out was, "Hey, our cover story is da 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 da." And then they included a link, and the link sent people not to the story like you would assume, but to the page that says where you can pick up the City Pages. So I was sort of flummoxed by that.
Well, so you know, here the City Pages is owned by the Village Voice, and it's 50% ads for adult services.
Sure.
which is fine.
You have a city that has those adult services
that people might actually want to use.
Right.
Or at least the proprietors want to get the word out.
Right.
You know, it's very obvious how that publication is financed. And you guys have some Google AdSense.
Yes.
And is that working? Is that working for you? Are you happy with that?
Not to the point where we're considering keeping it. it hasn't been a real resounding success or a real resounding failure. It's just kind of there. I'm thinking next time we start to look at what we can do with the site, those may go away because they're not really justifying the placement right now. We have considered approaching some local businesses to see if they'd be more interested in just basically placing ads and not really having a middleman for it. It's mm-hmm. just not something that we've pursued yet.
At a glance, I'm not seeing things like classifieds or real estate ads or I don't want to say op-ed-y, but maybe qualitative.
I think you're right. I think that, you know, the content is I think it's a real reflection of sort of my appreciation of the personal voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, as far as content goes, I really like that. I think a good example, we had a woman from a local development company wanted to join the fray. And so she wrote an article for the front page and we ran it. And it was apparently the community thought it was a little bit too much like advertising, and they sort of reacted to it. And I don't think she got what she wanted out of it. And we've never restricted anybody in that way. We gave her a chance. We went through the process with her and stuff like that. And she just sort of it didn't meet what she was looking for. But I think for the most part, the content meets both the content creator's desired effect and the reader's desired effect, because we do get, and I think I get more of this than Andy does, and we get a tremendous amount of sort of support. I was at coffee this morning. The gentleman walked up to me and said that, you know, he appreciated the Citizen Wausau, and I had no idea who he was. You know, I was sitting on a street having coffee, and you know, he came up, thanked me for the website, and walked away. And you know, that kind of thing is amazing. I think that we are probably more op-ed-y, but we want it to be based in the visualization of the city. I want people to write about their personal experiences and their personal lives and tie that back somehow to what we do and what we have here in Wausau.
I think the big distinction between articles that are on personal blogs and articles that are on the homepage are whether they're relevant to the Wausau area or not. And I think that it's been our tendency that if we see an article that is related, we invite the person to have it posted on the homepage of the site, because it does make the homepage of the site stronger. But I mean, if I want to go and write an article about something that's completely unrelated, then yeah, my blog, the personal blog, is going to be the appropriate place to do that. And we don't have a problem with anybody doing that sort of thing. But that's really the big distinction between the articles on the homepage and the articles on the personal blogs, is whether there's a relevancy to the local area.
And that the personal blogs is everything that's within the / community?
Yes. Basically, yeah.
Okay.
I think there are do we still have some blogs, and I don't mean to ask a question about us on our podcast here, but some people haven't made their blogs public yet, I assume.
Right. Yeah, and that's their own personal choice.
Right.
If they want to have a blog that is not published in like the main directory, then they can do that.
And so So anything that gets, anything that is on the front page needs to be formally submitted and approved.
Well, yes. there's a more formal process, right. But I mean, it's going to go through us if it gets posted on the front page, basically.
Okay, because my original assumption was that there's this pool of articles that's within the blogs, and maybe you guys keep an eye on those, and you think, hey, this one is good, we're going to shoot it to the front page, and that's not the case.
Well, I think we would do that if we saw something that fit the kind of content that we had in mind.
Right, right.
But we also do have people who just will write articles specifically for the front page without putting them on a blog at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's what I was. That's what I found interesting about the distinction between the two. Basically, it sort of feels like the submission thing almost feels like a tip line or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
I mean, it even could be a situation where you say, "Oh, I think somebody should write about this," and then we could look at it and say, okay, we might, you know, that's a good idea. We might write about that. Mm-hmm. Or if they want to write a whole article, yeah, they're certainly welcome to submit that as well.
Traditionally, I get lots of that. I get lots of those emails. Hey, you should write about this. Hey, you should write about that. And my initial reaction is always, my default sort of reaction is, you know, you should write about it. Yeah. Not as a way to say, not to push off the work, not to say, hey, you know, you go do that. But if somebody's passionate enough to come to me as
right.
you know, the guy who owns a website here in town, you know, to say, hey, this is important, you should write about it. Obviously, they think it's important, and their writing about it will obviously reflect a greater passion for it than me, who might not have known it had happened. If I can't talk them into it, then it becomes the journalistic process for me to say, okay, well, you know, tell me a little bit more about it. What is it? You know, how can I find out more information? Da 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 da. And then it becomes the journalistic standard of trying to write about it. You know, I had somebody come to me recently with, you should write about the process with which the city of Wausau built their new website. And I immediately went, oh geez, yeah, there's no way I want to do that. You know. But then they started, you know, I said, well, okay, well, tell me, you know, if you don't want to write about it, tell me what you mean. Tell me why do you think this is something I should spend my time on. And they did start giving me some stuff. And I thought, oh, well, now this is interesting. You know, now I'm fascinated about this, you know. And so I'm pursuing writing this thing. You know, like recently we had that horrible piece of mail that was sent to all the city council members that was – about the peace sculpture and tying it to 9/11 and using the VFW here in Wausau as a scapegoat for it. And when I got a hold of one of these, when someone called me, I was up north actually for the weekend, and somebody called me and said, hey, I got this letter. And I came home and they gave it to me. And I said, well, you know, I have to follow this. This is significant. I have to follow this. So I went down to the VFW and, you know, did the process of writing the story. And, you know, and that's another way that it comes through, you know, and some of it is just, you know, Cheryl is amazing at just sort of seeing something and going, wow, that's cool. I'm going to write about that, you know, and she's able to write about her life in that way in a really sort of concrete, advanced, emotional way that I find amazing, you know, and we have lots of voices like that. Journalistically, I think that we've changed the paradigm has shifted to such a way that people are part of the conversation now. That it for any of us who are writing journalistically to assume that we're going to start and end the story for the public, I think that's a tremendous mistake. I think that's arrogance on my part to think that I am the last word. My writing is the end of this discussion, and I'm the one who truly gets it. And I think that that's a mistake. I think that that's a mistake that writers have, and I've fallen victim to it. And I think for me personally, journalistically, in the site is, I think it's to start the discussion. We've had this 10-year nagging debate about the 400 block in Wausau, and we're part of that debate. We are part of that discussion. I've written about the 400 block. I've written about the process of the 400 block debate. I've written about the cost of the 400 block. So we're part of that discussion. And I think that to see it as being part of that discussion is key for me and key for Cheryl, is to understand that this isn't the end. There are things that are the end. You know, when I got a hold of Mike Morrissey's letter of resignation and put it up, well, there's not much. I don't have that much to say about that. You know, this is the significance is that he did this. Okay, and the story is that I have it. Okay, so we put it up, and then the discussion becomes for everybody to make sense of that. For me to try to make sense of that would have been hubris, and that's the way that citizen journalism and social media sort of come together, in that, you know, yes, we're on the ground and we're seeing things more directly, and we're able to respond and post them with a greater sense of immediacy, and the social part of our website is that people can interact with that information and through discussion make sense of it and draw their own conclusion, and that's important to me. And I think that that's one of the thematic ideas why I keep doing the Friday questions, because I want people to feel that the discussion is something that we nurture, and it may be sort of a comedic way to point that out, but at the same time, you know, our regular Friday feature is questions, and I think that there is some significance to the act of questioning. Andy, I answered the last question. No, I answered the last question.
Now I have to come up with a 10-minute answer.
No, the question, but.
Well, initially when we launched Citizen Wasp, we had a launch party and we had some people get together. And it was just kind of a nice little event to say, okay, here's what we're trying to do, you know, so on and so forth. And we had another one I think it was in November, but it was to kind of celebrate Citizen Wasa's first birthday. And again, a very nice informal event. We printed up some business cards, just kind of hung out with people and talked for an evening, and it was fun. We did participate in ChalkFest, which is an event that happens every summer downtown in the treeless 400 block, where people basically sign up, and I think they pay a small amount to get a section of sidewalk, and then they're able to draw some kind of image on there. And we actually ended up drawing the Citizen Wasa logo. Cheryl did that and did a really, yeah, really nice job. But I definitely would like to see more of those get-togethers, because those seem to just be a really nice way to interact with people offline.
Anyway. I think the best thing about coffee shops in Wasa is the limited hours.
Yeah.
You know, you're not allowed to have baked goods apparently after 5 p.m. in Wasa. Just forget it, you know. I in college I worked at a coffee joint in Milwaukee where I went to school, and we were open until midnight. And then we opened again at 5. And it's like, okay, you know, because young people can't go out and booze it up, so they choose coffee, because that's another altering device, and
social media, I like to call it.
Yeah, exactly. It's Twitter lubricant. That's funny. I make myself laugh. So they end up going to Perkins or the Log Cabin. And even Perkins now closes at midnight. Did you know that, Andy?
I really don't go places after midnight, so it wasn't on my radar.
Okay. Well, Perkins used to be open 24 hours. Yeah, you should be sorry. Perkins used to be open 24 hours a day, and now it's, you know, closes at midnight, which is upsetting to me as a night person, you know. Yeah, it is. You should start a blog in Citizen Wasa of a list of your complaints.
It was this carpetbagger.
I came to town, and I couldn't get plantains anywhere, and I needed them for a recipe. What kind of town do you have? For like Art Fest, or what's it called? What's that called, Andy?
Festival of Arts
is just this amazing thing, and it's so you just sit there and you go, the Festival of the Arts is sort of a revelation. Just the amount of people that are in the city all at one time.
Well, Thank you, guys. Yep. You guys have an enjoyable Friday and a fantastic weekend, and keep up the